This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Folks, the runoff elections are on December 11th, and early voting starts this Saturday, and we have the pleasure of visiting with one of the runoff candidates in District B, I guess I should say a runoff candidate in District B, against Jay Banks, Leslie Harris. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. How are you?
Doing well. First, let me say happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone who's listening.
So, Leslie, I want to give you the opportunity first to introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Sure. New Orleans, let me tell you a little bit about myself and why I'm running. So I came to New Orleans in 1999 to attend Tulane Law School, and I graduated with honors. I then joined the law firm of Stone Pigman, which is the downtown first black female partners. In 2018, I was chosen to become chief of staff to Tanya Tetlow, the first female president of Loyola University. And there, I focused on data-driven strategies, dived into the budget. I was in charge of disaster management, including our COVID planning and policies. And I left earlier this year to concentrate on this run because of my legal background and my experience with Loyola, which is really like running a small city. I thought that I could bring those talents to District B. And why I'm running is because I see my neighbors suffering in District B. There's crime that's out of control. The infrastructure's insanely bad. And there's a lack of economic opportunities. And my goal is to look at those three priorities. And that's what I want to do when I'm the next councilperson of District B.
Leslie, we have a couple of things in common. We both graduates at Tulane Law School, and I saw you did juvenile law clinic, and the way that
I
you
did.
Described your experience there was the same experience that I had, because I was at the juvenile law clinic as well and really enjoyed it.
I did, too. It was great representing kids who really don't have a voice in the system, and I learned a lot from my professor, David Katner, who was there at the time. So
yes.
I had a great time, and it really prepared me to be a litigator at Stone Pigman.
He was the leader as well when I went through their program and wouldn't have done it differently. So I was reading in some of your campaign materials, and you come out on violent crime. You know, it's a issue near and dear to my heart after spending 40 years in law enforcement, that violent crime hasn't been this bad since the 90s, you say. You go on to say that our streets are flooded with illegal guns, and that you got into this race because your neighbors, your elderly neighbors in your Central City neighborhood, are afraid to leave their homes at night. And because people that you work with are scared to stop at a gas station in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see going on, and how? What is your approach that's going to be different in trying to resolve these issues?
I think my approach is more data-driven. Again, working at Loyola, we really had to dig into the data to understand what was going on in order to have a recovery and a recovery that made sense. So I think we need to dig into the data and figure out where exactly we're failing. I mean, crime has been on the upswing in New Orleans for many years. I'm actually reading the transition report that the Cantrell administration put out upon her transition. And many of the things that she talked about are things that I'm interested in, including early intervention for youth who are at risk. And that includes partnerships with places like DXC, companies like DXC, to provide training opportunities and development so that they see a future in New Orleans. But it also really means targeting the illegal gun trade. Now, I'm not talking about guns that are sold, you know, at Walmart or other places where it's legal, but really figuring out where the illegal gun trade is happening. So you probably know this, the car break-ins that are epidemic in New Orleans. People are looking, those kids are looking for guns. And so those guns then go into circulation and are used in murders like happened in broad daylight in uptown New Orleans a couple weeks back. And so we really need to figure out where those guns are coming from and address the illegal gun trade in New Orleans.
So I have said that I have a sense that the council has not, you know, really expressed any notion of exigency or in and around this issue. I've talked about it. It would be the first thing that I would talk about for the first 90 minutes of my day every day. Yep. Dealing with crime, because it permeates across so many other different silos of our economy.
What
is your sense?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I say, and please go to my platform, listeners, to harrisfornola.com, because there is a crime platform there. And what I talk about is really getting a task force together of experts in this field, and within 90 days, coming up with a plan that the other council members can get on board with to push forward to the administration. I think people are leaving New Orleans and companies are not coming to New Orleans because of our crime problem. And listen, I'm a champion of New Orleans, and I think everyone who's listening loves New Orleans. But the crime issue, it supersedes everything that I think about when I think about New Orleans. And we just need to have a safer city and focus on crime.
Yeah. It was something interesting that I saw in your campaign website as well. You actually define what a city council member doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you feel the necessity to take that approach?
I think in campaigning, I hear a lot about education and educational reform. And having worked at a university, I actually teach at Tulane Law School right now. Having taught at Tulane in the past, I think education is essential. But I think that listeners and people and voters need to understand that city council does not take a strong role in the education system. So I thought that was important to define and make sure that voters understood that. Now, there are some funds that we can allocate towards early childhood education, and I would absolutely champion that, because I think that goes back to the crime issue and prevention strategies. But the overall educational system is run by the school board and not the city council, and I thought it was important that people understand that, especially just hearing all the woes that people have about the education system in New Orleans.
You make the same observation about the Sewage and Water Board, and I think a lot of people don't realize that it's an 11-member board.
Yes.
And I've said that I've always felt that part of the challenges with that board is transition, a different philosophy related to governance, and that maybe that ought to change. Do you have any thoughts in that area?
I do. You know, I think there's a lack of fundamental coordination between the Department of Public Works and the Sewer and Water Board. And I will point out that my opponent, Jay Banks, is one of the members of the Sewer and Water Board. So I think that's important to understand that fact and understanding what the problems that the Sewer and Water Board have faced. But I think there was a plan that had been looked at, and I absolutely would dust it off to see about merging the Sewer and Water Board with the Department of Public Works. But at the very least, we need a coordinator between the two so that, one, the Sewer and Water Board is not digging up streets and leaving them, like on my street. I live on Barone Street, and there's what I call the big dig, where there's equipment there. There are things available, but it's been dug up for about a year, but there are no people actually working on the machine. So there's no coordination and no real transparency into what the Department of Public Works are doing and the Sewer and Water Board are doing. So So infrastructure is fundamental to my campaign, and a focus on infrastructure, because we can't have our streets look like they do, again, and this goes back to the economic development of it, and have companies, attract companies here in New Orleans. We can't have blinking lights, blinking traffic lights in our major intersection, especially along Poitras, and have companies come to New Orleans. So we just really need to focus on the fundamentals.
Going back to, you know, what you say the city council doesn't do, I was kind of struck by it because do you feel like that a lot of the other issues kind of take away from the focus of what y'all should be doing?
No, I think the city council really needs to focus on quality of life issues right now, especially right now in New Orleans. And we have the budgetary control. I mean, that's the fundamental task of the city council is to look at the budget and delve into the budget to make sure that money is going where it needs to go. So I think from my view, the fundamental issues impacting New Orleanians, especially in District B, are quality of life issues like trash pickup, like the infrastructure and the potholes, like crime. And so I think that we just need to really, as a council, focus on working together to move New Orleans forward. And I think there's an opportunity to have a really strong council in this next election, people who will work hard together to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to advance New Orleans.
When you talk about infrastructure, District B is kind of interesting, is it not? I mean, mm-hmm. it houses the oldest neighborhoods in the city of New Orleans and thereby probably the oldest infrastructure, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we have the Garden District, the Lower Garden District, the CBD down to Canal Street, Central City. Yeah. And it's very different. I mean, the houses are very different. The streets are very different. But fundamentally, what I'm learning on the campaign trail is all citizens of District B are impacted by these infrastructure issues. I've spoken to people in the Garden District, and they say First Street has been torn up for a year. Again, I live on Barone Street, and Barone Street's been torn up for a year, and the same thing's happening in Mid-City. So I think we, you know, as diverse as the district is, I think we have these issues in common and concerns in common.
Do you get the sense, because I do, that we start these projects just to get them started so that we don't lose the funding? We've only spent 20% of the Katrina funding, and part of the issue that I have with the new infrastructure bill, it's all great, we're going to get some dollars, but there has to be the ability to receive. And I'm
right.
Not so sure that we're in that position. Your thoughts?
Right. So and the current council person has said, you know, we need to start this and spend the money down or else we're going to lose it. Now, I have thoughts on that. I think that given the Biden administration and the closeness with some of the representatives like Cedric Richmond, we certainly could appeal to FEMA and say, hey, we need more time to use these funds. That's a possibility. But the coordination issue is paramount. The fact that there's no transparency, the fact that we're hiring companies to tear up a street and then they just stop to tear up another street, the coordination and transparency is something that we must focus on. And one of my thoughts, and you can see it on my website, is having a tracker, a real-time tracker, where we know when construction begins, the length of the proposed construction, and the status of construction. So at the very least, people can avoid those streets that are under construction. Right now, if you drive in the dark, you might fall into a pothole. You saw James Carville, where his car literally got stuck in District B in a pothole because there was there is nothing preventing him from doing so. So it's just these fundamental small problems that can be fixed if we have a council that's willing to focus on it. Now, the current council person has said city council doesn't fix streets and doesn't fix crime. And that to me is problematic because I say, then what are you doing? If you can't fix crime and you can't fix the streets, then what is your function? And I just agree with that philosophy. I think we need to pull together, dig into the budget, and make sure that we're allocating money properly and holding our contractors accountable in order to get these things fixed.
What do you say to an administration where the council pushes back, and most recently it was Councilman Joe Geruso, asking for mm-hmm. timelines, as you just outlined these projects that you find to be incredibly frustrating in District B. And the member of the administration says, well, I know that you're looking for attaboys, you know, and kind of just diminishes the whole thought process of inquiring as to when these projects are going to end. What is the timeline? Is there a Gantt chart? What is there? Is there anything that's out there that you can share with us in the spirit of transparency so that we have an expectation of what's happening? What do you say to an administration that takes that approach?
I say that that's the wrong approach to take. We are citizens of New Orleans. We're taxpayers of New Orleans. We have to drive these streets. And listen, much of our population, if they lose a tire in a pothole, that can derail their week, if not months, because they can't afford to pay for a $200 tire. And I get that. And it's frustrating to me, and it's frustrating to everyone in the district, and everyone in New Orleans, that we cannot get straight answers about the timeliness of repairs, fundamental repairs in New Orleans, including the traffic lights. We go out and we wave signs during this campaign, and we wave signs on Poydras and Loyola, and literally can watch the amount of people who are almost in accidents because those traffic lights are out. So what I would say to the administration and anyone working with the administration saying that is that we need real solutions, we need real data, and we will hold your feet to the fire until you provide that those solutions and data.
Absolutely. I love the data thing because I am a data wonk for sure. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back with Leslie Harris, runoff candidate in District B. So stay with us, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. If you have a question, text it in. We will get it asked. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Leslie Harris, runoff candidate for District B. Leslie, District B has no shortage, or they have their fair share, I should say, of blighted housing. It seems that to me that the number never seems to get significantly reduced. The most recent reports are that it's somewhere between 20 and 30,000 still. What will you bring to the forefront in dealing with that that's different than the way this council has handled this situation?
So I think there are several things that we need to focus on. Again, I've said this several times. I live in Central City, and I say that just because I live with the people who are really, you know, impacted by blight. My neighbors on either side of me are longtime homeowners whose houses are falling into blight because they can't afford fundamental repairs. So I know that the city has some funding available to it, but those programs to help homeowners with blight and to make repairs that are crucial to keep their homes safe and habitable. So the city has that funding, but it's not really put out there that funding is available. So I think making sure that we are communicating with people who are homeowners who may not be able to afford fundamental repairs, that's going to be important. But I think we also need to look at using especially city-owned properties that are blighted and that are overgrown, and there are many, many, many that are just vacant lots that the city owns, and turning those into affordable housing. Mayor Cantrell proposed this, I think, last year, and I think we just need to push forward with that plan. And so I think on affordable housing, it's affordable housing for folks and workforce housing, but I also think we need to think about affordable housing for first responders, especially as we're facing recruitment and retention shortages for EMS workers, firefighters, and NOPD folks. And we can partner with private developers in order to redevelop those blighted properties that are city-owned. So those are my thoughts on blight around District B.
What do you think's been the biggest impediment? Because, you know, I hear that from a number of folks, you know, about what they would do, but we never seem to be able to execute on it. And it's kind of, you know, frustrating. I mean, I think they one of the housing organizations the other day graded the city and gave them an F. And it doesn't seem that, you know, and you're in the educational, in the education realm, an F is an F is an F. And there's only one way to go from there is up, but it doesn't seem like we're ever moving in that direction.
You know, I think that sometimes we really do need to count on our partners in private industry to help with bureaucracy. So I think that there are developers who are actually working towards trying to solve the blight problem. I sat with one actually yesterday who is working with folks in Central City in order to identify the blighted properties and to redevelop them, especially around the Browns Ferry area, which I think is going to turn into workforce housing. And that's super important, especially because it's so close to CBD where a lot of these workers live. So I think we need to rely on the experts, and I've said this throughout my campaign, that I'm not an expert on anything, frankly. But what I am really good at is bringing the experts to the table to inform solutions. I did that at Loyola. I've done that in my legal career. And so I think we need to look at some of our private developers and say, what is the best practices here? What is the city missing? And how can we move this forward? And I think we need to get some of the housing advocacy people at the table as well, so that we're all at the table. Our concerns are all heard, but we just need someone to convene. And I think that, you know, I have that experience of convening people, and that's something that I'm really good at. That's a talent that I have. And so that's one of the things that I would do to tackle blight in District B.
The city's involved in two consent decrees now, one with the NOPD and one with the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office. There is a battle that's mounting over a special needs facility, an 89-bed facility for mental health. I mean, the data is abundant relative to mental health issues and crime. And I, for one, am in support of this facility. I think it gives a more directed approach, a more focused approach, an appropriately constructed facility for dealing with the serious mentally ill that present in so many different fashions. Have you taken a position on that?
So this is what I've said, and you know, as an attorney, you understand this, that a consent decree is presided over by a judge. And so whatever I say doesn't really go. It's what the judge says. And a consent decree is essentially an agreement between two parties over what can be done. And then a judge presides over it. So I can have all the opinions that I want to have, but really it's going to be up to the judiciary to solve this issue. But I will say this. I don't believe that mentally ill people should be in jail. I think they need to be in facilities that can help them. I understand the criminal aspect to it. I heard the debates between Sheriff Guzman and Ms. Hudson, and I understand the issues. But at the end of the day, a consent decree is a consent decree, and I hate to sound like I'm punting on this because I'm not, but just as, from a legal aspect, I think that we're just going to have to wait and see how it falls.
Well, where would you fall on the issue of deciding one way or the other to challenge the judge in this consent decree where he's trying to enforce an agreement of a previous administration that this administration doesn't seem to like and therefore wants to change the rules midstream?
Right. So, I mean, you understand, again, as an attorney, that when two parties agree to something, and in this case it's the city, it doesn't really matter what the new administration wants because the agreement's already there. So I just think as the lawyer, we have to let the process play out. Again, I hate to sound like I'm punting on this question, but I just, that's where I am on it, just as a person who is trained under the law.
Right. Also, there's a couple of other ballot initiatives that are on the ballot at the same time as you guys. The New Orleans library tax. Where are you on that issue?
I love libraries. I support libraries.
The housing tax.
You know, I haven't really dug into this, so I can't really pick a position on it one way or the other. So I think the voters will just have to become informed and figure out that issue for themselves.
So as you enter this race, I guess, is it fair to say that you're a political neophyte? You're new to the game. You're new to politics here in the city?
So the only political thing I've ever done, which is funny,
you wear
me,
that
I
badge,
never thought I'd do
you
this.
Wear that badge proudly?
I do. You know, I will tell you, this is funny. This is a funny story. When I first ran, I called somebody up and said, hey, I'm doing this. I'd love your support. And they hung up on me and said, I don't talk to politicians. And I was so stunned because I was like, oh, my gosh, is that what I am now? So, this is all new to me. But we've gotten great support. I've gotten great support. I have a great team around me. We've gotten endorsements from the Gambit Weekly, many of the newspapers here in New Orleans, various associations, including the Independent Women's Organization. And so I'm just really proud of the work that we've done. It's been a hard campaign, especially with the hurricane interrupting it, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get to work. So I'm actually better administrator than I am a politician is what I'd like to say.
So if you had to rank the issues in District B for you, and what would you say is the single most pressing issue in District B?
I think I have to go with crime is the number one issue, especially given everything that's happened. I was coming home from work the other day and there was a shooting that happened in broad daylight. So we really have to focus on crime. But close to that are the infrastructure issues and really having a trackable, accountable way of figuring out how to get these streets fixed, how to coordinate between the Sewer and Water Board and Department of Public Works so that we can drive our streets and that we have a livable city. And all of that, to me, New Orleans drives economic development. So I think New Orleans is a fabulous city. It's a great city to do business in, but we have to get our infrastructure together because people are turning to cities like Austin and Memphis, and people are going to be St. Louis to avoid New Orleans, and that's just not something that I want.
Right. All right, we got to get to another break. We'll be right back with Leslie Harris, runoff candidate in District B. Stay with us, folks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back. We're visiting with Leslie Harris, runoff candidate in District B. Leslie, you touched on economic development slightly before the break. I wanted to kind of expand on that conversation. You just recently received the endorsement of J.P. Morrell, and who's the newly elected council at large. And he has a great saying, one that I think just kind of sums it up. It shouldn't be this hard to live in this city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of a mantra that deals with a lot of different, all-encompassing, truly. But let's kind of focus in on economic development and what that means in that regard.
Sure. Yeah. So I agree wholeheartedly with JP. It shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard to do business in the city. Many of the administrative blocks that happen are happening at City Hall, where you have to race up and down floors in order to get permits, where you're blocked on every level and where processes take way too long. So I think we need to really dig down in and work with the administration on streamlining some of the processes for small businesses, especially to get a business started. A lot of these entrepreneurs, especially coming out of COVID, are not knowledgeable about the systems that the city has. And some of those systems are very archaic. And so just streamlining those processes to make it easier to open up a small business, so that you're not spending hours at City Hall to get what you need to get, I think is one thing that we can focus on, especially in the first few months of the new council. I think attracting businesses, and I keep talking about attracting businesses to the city because I think it's important. And we've had a few wins with some tech companies that have said that they're going to come. DXC, of course, is a company that's here and got some tax incentives to be here. But we need to make sure that we're working with those companies to make sure that they have a workforce that is local and can work with them. And so, again, early on in my campaign, I spoke with DXC about getting programs for coding and tech into our local middle and high schools. And that's just a partnership that can happen fairly easily and organically if someone just pays attention to it and fosters it. And so I think that there are things that we can do as council people just to really be advocates for the city, be advocates for small businesses, and be advocates for the workforce that I'm really interested in bringing when I am the next city council person.
When obviously, we are wedded to the tourism industry at the present mm-hmm. time. There's been a lot of friction between hospitality and tourism and the present administration. In my view, you really need to foster what you have. A bird in the hand is almost as good as two in the bush sometimes. We seem to lose sight of that. Your thoughts?
So I spoke early on in this process to Walt Leger, who's a friend and was a former classmate of mine at Tulane Law School. And he, you know, is with Nolan Company. What he said to me is something that I found very profound, is that the tourism industry is important to New Orleans, but the tourism industry is not enemies of any other economic growth, because pushing other industries forward in New Orleans actually benefits the tourism industry. So it's a symbiotic relationship. So I don't see any reason to denigrate the tourism industry, especially since it's so critical to New Orleans' economy currently. And I think we need to look at them as advocates for the city. They're bringing in conventions who then can bring in entrepreneurs and other companies to see our city. And especially once our city is functional, who might say, hey, I want to bring a business here to New Orleans. So I think that there's a way to work in partnership with the tourism industry. And we have to, because it is such a critical industry to New Orleans.
Yep. Final thoughts?
Listen, I think we have an opportunity to really have a strong council, a council that is going to push against some of what the administration does, and some of what the administration does is great, but we also need to be able to push the city forward. And I'm someone who's willing to work with anyone in order to advocate for the constituents of District B. I have the skill, the legal and administrative background to do this work. I have the passion for it. I care about New Orleans. I want to be here. And I just really hope that your listeners will get out there and vote. Early voting starts on Saturday, and the election is on December 11th.
Well, best of luck to you. I truly appreciate you joining with us today and sharing your thoughts, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.